Chapter 11. What should I eat? Sister White, what kinds of food do you think are best? God has furnished man with abundant means for the gratification of an unperverted appetite. He has spread before him the products of the earth, a bountiful variety of food. Of these, our Heavenly Father says we may freely eat. Fruits, grains, and vegetables, prepared in a simple way, make, with milk or cream, the most healthful diet. What do you like to eat, especially when you are traveling? We reached Chicago Wednesday evening and stopped at the Eagle Hotel. Thursday morning, I lay down in my room to rest while your father went out in the city. He returned just in time to take the cars and brought a basket of fruit, of tomatoes, peaches, and apples. They were very nice. We ate the fruit with our bread taken from home. We have only a half loaf of graham and one loaf of white and half of one of the rusk bread. It is all moist and good. Someone helped himself to our oranges. We think our apples go well. We are well satisfied with our meals. Those around us are loaded with chicken, pickles, corned beef, jellies, and tea and coffee. None seem to feel as well as we do, who eat only twice a day of simple food. Not anything warm yet to eat or drink. We feel the blessing of the Lord attends us. Praise His dear name. While parents and children were eating of their dainties, my husband and myself partook of our simple repast at our usual hour at 1 p.m. of graham bread without butter and a generous supply of fruit. We ate our meal with a keen relish and with thankful hearts that we were not obliged to carry a popular grocery with us. We ate heartily and felt no sense of hunger until the next morning. The boy with his oranges, nuts, popcorn, and candies found us poor customers. Suppose I'm eating at a place where meat is on the menu. Never be ashamed to say, "No, thank you, I do not eat meat." But what's wrong with meat? God gave our first parents the food He designed that the race should eat. There was to be no death in Eden. The fruit of the trees in the garden was the food man's wants required. God gave man no permission to eat animal food until after the flood. Everything had been destroyed, and therefore the Lord gave Noah permission to eat of the clean animals which he had taken with him into the ark. But animal food was not the most healthful article of food for man. After the flood, the people ate largely of animal food. He permitted that long-lived race to eat animal food to shorten their sinful lives. Soon after the flood, the race began rapidly to decrease in size and in length of years. Animals are becoming more and more diseased, and it will not be long until animal food will be discarded by many besides Seventh-day Adventists. Foods that are healthful are to be prepared so that men and women will not need to eat meat. What else do you eat besides fruit? We have plenty of good milk, fruit, and bread. We may use fruit freely and in different ways. We have a large family and besides have many guests, but neither meat nor butter is placed upon our table. We use the cream from the milk of cows which we feed ourselves. All who come to my table are welcome, but I place before them no meat. Grains, vegetables, and fresh and canned fruit constitute our table fare. At present, we have plenty of the best oranges and plenty of lemons. This is the only fresh fruit we can get at this season of the year. I have written this to give you some idea of how we live. I am so thankful to God that when Adam lost his Eden home, the Lord did not cut off the supply of fruit. The more we depend upon the fresh fruit just as it is plucked from the tree, the greater will be the blessing. Let us eat freely of the fresh grapes, apples, peaches, pears, berries, and all other kinds of fruit that can be obtained. If you can get apples, you are in a good condition as far as fruit is concerned, if you have nothing else. Apples are superior to any fruit for a standby that grows. Of corn and peas, we have raised enough for ourselves and our neighbors. The sweet corn we dry for winter use. Then, when we need it, we grind it in a mill and cook it. It makes soups and other dishes. In their season, we have grapes in abundance, also prunes and apples, and some cherries, peaches, pears, and olives, which we prepare ourselves. We also grow a large quantity of tomatoes. I never make excuses for the food that is on my table. I do not think God is pleased to have us do so. Our visitors eat as we do, and appear to enjoy our bill of fare. I get up too late to eat in the morning. Is it all right if I skip breakfast?
When I was at Kurrenbong, Australia, many that were great meat eaters came into my family, and when they would sit at my table, where not a particle of meat was served, they would say, "Well, if you have food like this, I could do without meat." I think that our food satisfies our family. I tell our family, whatever you do, do not get a poverty-stricken diet. Place enough on the table to nourish the system. It is the custom to take a slight breakfast, but this is not the best way to treat the stomach. At breakfast time, the stomach is in a better condition to take care of more food than at the second or third meal of the day. The habit of eating a sparing breakfast and a large dinner is wrong. Make your breakfast correspond more nearly to the heartiest meal of the day. Don't you think it is all right for growing children to have a snack between meals? I am astonished to learn that many of you eat between meals. You should never let a morsel pass your lips between your regular meals. Eat what you ought, but eat it at one meal, and then wait until the next. How often do you eat? Most people enjoy better health while eating two meals a day than three. Others may require something to eat at supper time, but this meal should be very light. I eat only two meals a day. If there are those who are better in health when eating three meals, it is their privilege to have three. I choose two meals. For 35 years, I have practiced the two-meal system. I wonder if what I eat has anything to do with the condition of my skin. I hope you will not eat much sweet. Your skin is in a bad condition. You must tell Anna to get fruit instead of molasses. Don't stint yourself on fruit. Apples at $1 a bushel are not high and are more beneficial to health. Do you think girls should learn how to cook? I would pay a higher price for a cook than for any other part of my work. Mothers should teach their children how to cook. The eating has to do with the life. There are but few good cooks. Mothers should take their daughters into the kitchen with them when very young and teach them the art of cooking. Before children take lessons on the organ or the piano, they should be given lessons in cooking. But do they have to learn how to bake bread too? There is more religion in a good loaf of bread than many think. Bread which is 2 or 3 days old is more healthful than new bread. A hired girl made a batch of sour, heavy bread. In order to get rid of it and conceal the matter, she threw it to a couple of very large hogs. Next morning, the man of the house found his swine dead, and upon examining the trough, found pieces of this heavy bread. The girl acknowledged what she had done. she had not a thought of the effect of such bread upon the swine. If heavy, sour bread will kill swine, which can devour rattlesnakes, what effect will it have upon that tender organ, the human stomach? I like desserts. Don't you? I have stewed fruit of some kind, and sometimes lemon pie. We have always used a little milk and some sugar. This we have never denounced. The time has not yet come for sugar and milk to be wholly abolished from our tables. Far too much sugar is ordinarily used in food. Cakes, sweet puddings, pastries, jellies, jams are active causes of indigestion. Especially harmful are the custards and puddings in which milk, eggs, and sugar are the chief ingredients. The free use of milk and sugar taken together should be avoided. Use simple, wholesome food. No one can have a clear brain who will eat largely of sweet cookies and cream cake and all kinds of pies and partakes of a great variety of food at one meal. How about seconds on pie? Plain, simple pie may serve as dessert. But when one eats two or three pieces merely to gratify appetite, he unfits himself for the service of God. Some, after partaking largely of other food, will take dessert, not because they need it, but because it tastes good. If they are asked to take a second piece, the temptation is great, and two or three pieces of pie are added to the load placed upon the already overworked stomach. He who will do this has never educated himself to practice self-denial. Mother and Daddy talk about health reform. Is this important? The health reform, I was shown, is a part of the third angel's message and is just as closely connected with it as are the arm and hand with the human body. The body should be servant to the mind, and not the mind to the body. The great object of hygienic reform is to secure the highest possible development of mind and soul and body. All the laws of nature, which are the laws of God, are designed for our good. Obedience to them will promote our happiness in this life and will aid us in a preparation for the life to come. There is real common sense in health reform. People cannot all eat the same things. Some articles of food that are wholesome and palatable to one person may be hurtful to another. Some cannot use milk, while others can subsist upon it. For some, dried beans and peas are wholesome, while others cannot digest them. So it is impossible to make an unvarying rule by which to regulate everyone's dietetic habits. Investigate your habits of diet. Do not neglect or abuse the body, and thus unfit it to render to God that service which is His due. More than 40 years ago, the Lord gave us special light on health reform. But how are we walking in that light? It is our duty to understand the principles of health reform. On the subject of temperance, we should be in advance of all other people. When the message of health reform first came to me, I was weak and feeble, subject to frequent fainting spells. I was pleading with God for help, and He opened before me the great subject of health reform. He instructed me that those who are keeping His commandments must be brought into sacred relationship to Himself, and that by temperance in eating and drinking, they must keep mind and body in the most favorable condition for service. This light has been a great blessing to me. I took my stand as a health reformer, knowing that the Lord would strengthen me. I have better health today, notwithstanding my age, than I had in my younger days. Health reform means something to us, and we must not belittle it by narrow views and practices. We must be true to our convictions of right. Daniel was blessed because he was steadfast in doing what he knew to be right. And we shall be blessed if we seek to honor God with full purpose of heart. Bible study and prayer. Ellen Harmon studied her Bible and prayed much. At times, she spent most of the night talking with her Heavenly Father. On two occasions in a dream, she seemed to see Jesus and his angels. At other times, she seemed to be working to win souls to him. These things were very real to her, and she became troubled. Ellen's mother, knowing of these two unusual dreams, finally said, "Ellen, why don't you talk with Elder Stockman? I'm sure he can help you." So Ellen went to this faithful minister. When she finished telling him of her problems and of her unusual prayer experiences, he placed his hand upon her head and said, "Ellen, you are only a child. Jesus must be preparing you for some special work." He told her to go home, to trust in Jesus, and not to worry or be afraid. Ellen later wrote, "From Elder Stockman, I obtained more knowledge on the subject of God's love and pitying tenderness than from all the sermons to which I had ever listened." It was but a step thereafter for Ellen to advance to a sweet closeness with God. Her life of prayer and Bible study, and her obedience to him, prepared her well to become God's special messenger to his people for these closing days of time.